Hey guys, Alex here, AJNashville.com, here with Mr. Jeffrey Perry. Say what's up, Jeff.
What's up, Jeff?
What's up, Jeff? So I know a lot of you missed me. I apologize.
I missed you.
Shut up. I had two podcasts that were missed due to the fact that I was out of town. I had a lot going on. I was taking care of the kids. Shannon had a big surgery. I was onboarding with a new company. You know, you want to talk about putting a lot of shit on your plate at once. This was a lot of shit. This was like all-you-can-eat buffet at Shoney's, a lot of shit on your plate. So, you know, I unfortunately missed those podcasts. I just didn't have a way to record. I couldn't take my mic with me. I had too much weight in my suitcase as it was. So I kind of want to talk about that, you know, the trip. The getting there. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to break up kind of my trip into micro sessions.
It's like a trip without acid.
Whatever, Jeff. I'm going to break the trip up into micro sessions. This way we have a couple different podcasts where I talk about some of the experiences I had, some of the people I had the opportunity to meet, you know, just different things. This way you can live a day in my shoes or a two-week window in my shoes. So like most of you know, back in January 4th, I believe it was, Shannon had a surgery. She had what was called MALS. And MALS is where you have a ligament that compresses a celiac artery, which provides blood flow to the basic digestive organs. So with that being said, we had a person that was experiencing some pretty severe pain anytime she would eat. And to the point where it would just kind of lean her over and she would be kind of gut-wrenched. You know what I mean? Kind of doubled over, couldn't eat too much, and so the surgery had to be done. Well, it's a very intensive surgery. They have to go through the abdomen, which means that there's a longer recovery period because they're cutting through your core.
Through the muscle.
Yeah, I mean, it's like going in, it's like cutting a tree down the center, you mm-hmm. know? It's a difficult thing to go through, and so I said, hey, I'll take the kids to California. I've got family there, and here's the crazy thing. While I was there, the one-year anniversary of my family and myself reconnecting
was the
Saturday that my brother's going away party was on. Mm-hmm. So it was really weird because here we are. We're celebrating Mikey's going away party. Him and his family are going out to Okinawa. He's in the Marines. He's finally detached from his unit over at RSS San Jose North, which was a recruiting station. And now he's reporting to a new duty station out in Okinawa, and he's going to be out there for 3 years. So it's almost like we exchanged me being, you know, reintroduced into the family a year ago, and then us, you know, saying not goodbye, because goodbye to me is a negative mindset on you know, if you say goodbye, it's forever, in my opinion. So it's see you later is kind of the way I feel about things. You tell people, hey, I'll see you later. I'll talk to you later. If you notice when I get off the phone, when I talk to people, I don't say, all right, bye. I say, all right, I'll talk to you later. Even if it's people that I won't be talking to later, you know, because maybe it's a fly-by-night company that I'm talking to or something like that. I say that because the concept of saying bye to somebody to me is a little bit darker. Does that make sense?
You read into it too much.
No, you're one to fucking talk. You want to talk about reading into shit? I mean, that's a whole nother chapter though. We're not even going to get into that. But like I said, looking at that and knowing that we were reunited, and then we have a brother that once again, you know, he's like 22 hours from me, you know, and that's a long time. Could you imagine being on an airplane that long?
No.
Because I'm on an airplane sometimes for like 4.5 hours, and I'm like, golly, this has got to quit.
Yeah, like the airplane ride we had to Texas or wherever we went, and someone was
that was
unfortunately breaking wind in the seat
front
of us.
I remember that. Oh, here's the funny thing. So
it's horrible.
You know, kids, when you get kids on planes, kids in airplanes just don't go well. Mm-mm. My children have been fortunate enough where they've flown. It will be a total of four times now.
Yeah.
You know, at their young age, that's quite a bit. And Rowan is very particular. She's like, I want the window. And Lincoln's like, I don't care as long as I have a seat, because I'm not going to sit in it more than likely anyways. So, you know, I got the kids and you went to the airport with me. They had their own little bags and we're heading out at
early
in the morning. 4:30 in the morning rolling out.
With Alex and myself and two toddlers.
Yeah. And their own suitcases. So we get to the airport, and Nashville Airport, they just did some renovations. They built a new parking garage. And so it's not like it used to be where you roll up, you get in the parking garage, you shoot straight across.
It's a mess.
Yeah, you shoot straight across the bridge, and boom, you're where the ticketing station is. So I got so frustrated, I'm like, fuck it.
Valet.
We're going to valet. Mm-hmm. So we go down to valet. And I still owe you for the valet, by the way. Was it like $14 or something
like that? Yeah.
Okay. So then we get in there. And, you know, the kids got their little suitcases. They're toting along. Their suitcases are lightweight, high speed. You know, they're good. We get them checked. We get a pass. This way Jeff can get in there because I need the help. There's no question about it. There is not a way or a chance in hell we would have made it to the gate with me by myself.
Not with those two bags. Yeah, I thought about this. So you could have had one of those little man packs or those like pouches like a kangaroo where you put one child in that and then you hold the other child's hand and then you make it to the airplane.
First of all, Lincoln is thick boy. Mm-hmm. He's 2 years old and he's a chunk. So
you'd have to have your backpack on your back and then the front pack with him on it.
Right.
That'd look funny.
That would look funny, and that wouldn't work. There's no way that would work because that would be so much
weight. I've seen guys do it, though.
Yeah, no, not with Lincoln's
a big
boy.
And you and I had a discussion about that.
Dude, trust me. Okay, so the other day I had to carry Lincoln and Rowan plus two bags at the same time. That was a task. Like, I'm not a little guy.
Yeah, how did you get – well, that's another podcast.
Yeah, we'll get to that later on. So when I had to carry Rowan in one hand, Lincoln in the other, and both their bags on the front of me plus my backpack on my back. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about – dude, I felt like the Incredible Hulk after I walked down this – I mean, it was a super long hallway, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm so dead right now. But at that point in time, I was like, I'm the strongest man in the world. So – but no, I mean, getting them to the gate, you saw Lincoln kept putting his passy in his backpack and then taking it out, then putting it back in, then taking it back out.
And we're not talking once or twice. We're talking probably the entire way from
every 3 foot.
TSA check-in all the way to the gate.
Yeah, every 3, 4, 5 foot, he was doing the same thing. Then we get to the window to where they can see the airplanes and all is good. You know, they're relaxing. They're looking out the window. They're talking about airplanes. And we're like, all right, let's go get something to drink, get something for the kids. And we come back, seats taken. And it's just kind of a havoc point. Rowan's coloring on the floor. You know, she's coloring in a book, but she's doing it on the floor in front of everyone. And they were training that police dog.
The funniest was when Lincoln got up and then grabbed that lady's butt on accident. So it was awesome.
So Lincoln's 2 years old. You know, he can't see very high. And there's a lady, and I would imagine in his eyes, her butt looked just like his mom's butt. And he grabbed it, and I looked up, and I'm like, I'm so sorry.
She turned around.
Luckily, I don't have little two-year-old hands. Yeah, it was okay. But, you know, that was the easy part. Then we get up for boarding, and here's the thing. People, you know, it's very hard to board with two kids, two toddler kids. And Southwest does a pretty good job of squeezing us between A and B. And I get, you know, there's that squeeze in between because the people that sit in A pay a lot of money to be in that position in line. And if you're taking a whole family on, you can take up some of the more valuable seats, so to speak. So we finally go to get on the plane. And guess what? The back rows where I normally sit, there's people sitting there. And I couldn't break up the family. And so I'm like, all right. So I had to sit a couple rows forward. We get on the plane. We get ready. Rowan gets in her seat. You know, everyone's good to go. They take a little bit longer to take off. And at that point, Lincoln's like, I don't want the seatbelt. I'm like, look here, boy. You got to have the seatbelt. So we get to take off. They're having a blast once takeoff. We get in there and Lincoln's like, again. I'm like, we can't do that again. Mm-hmm. Not for 2 weeks, you know. But as we get in there, they kind of calm down and everything's going great. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, this is going to be fucking awesome. This trip isn't going to be as bad as the first one that we took. Boy, was I wrong. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you something. You know how small airplane bathrooms are, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. They're smaller than like this desk. Mm-hmm. And this desk isn't the biggest desk in the world, but it's a pretty decent sized desk. And it's smaller than that. Rowan says, Daddy, I got to go potty. I say, no problem. Go. The bathroom's right there. It's two rows back and it's straight in that door. She said, no, Daddy, I want you to come with me. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to come with you. But then Lincoln's like, Daddy. And he doesn't want to sit there either. So I'm literally in this little pisser holding Lincoln in front of me. Rowan's sitting down in front of me. She's complaining about the dark toilet. She's like, Daddy, it's dirty. It's dark. I'm like, no, baby, it's an airplane toilet. Like, how do you explain that to a kid? It's an airplane toilet. It's not shiny white like the one at home. You know?
See, it's good I don't have kids because I would pick them up and shake them and make sure that they peed.
Yeah.
Just shake the pee out of them.
You can't do that because I have my kid. I'm holding my son in front of me. I'm in this bathroom. I can't even bend over. Like, first of all, I'm too tall in the thing. Second of all, I got a child, you know, that I'm holding, embracing in the front of me. And then I got another one down at my ankles that's trying to get on this little.
It's just creepy.
And because it's Lincoln and I standing up in front of the light, she can't really see down there. So I'm having a heart attack in this bathroom holding this kid. Well, she's like, Daddy, I got to pee. I got to pee. I got to pee. So finally I convince her to sit on the toilet. She sits on. Luckily, she didn't have to go number two. Number two, I have to wipe her. She doesn't wipe herself. She just hasn't evolved to that point where she's ready to wipe her own ass. Number one, boom, here's some toilet paper. Daddy, this toilet paper hurts. I'm like, fuck, what do you expect?
It's not Charmin.
It's an airline. You're good. You know? Well, then the next thing is Lincoln. Lincoln had to get his diaper changed. This is after we get out. Now, the changing tables in airplanes are even smaller. You know, the changing table in an airplane is like the folding table on the back of the airplane seat. So I'm trying to change him. And mind you, I'm not a little dude.
Like a snack tray.
I what he did is he put his feet against my stomach and I kind of pushed him forward while I lifted his legs up and pulled the diaper out and slid the new one in and boom, boom, boom. We're good to go.
I could never do that.
Dude, let me tell you, you could. If you were forced – because the other option was the diaper leaks through. Now we have wet pants. Now he's running around with wet pants or sitting in their own piss. Imagine sitting in a seat full of your own piss. No, it wouldn't be enjoyable at all. I mean, if you were R. Kelly, yeah. You know, you could be like, hey, I don't even need to piss on people because I just pissed on myself. But for a baby, it's just not fun. It's not healthy for him. It's nothing. So – the ladies come around, you know, they bring some snacks. Everyone's got their little snacks. The kids get Fritos, which is cool. But there's something different about the two bags of Fritos. You know, Lincoln gets one, Roan gets the other, and there's something different about the two. Not literally, just in their mind, his bag is better than her bag, even though they're the exact same. They were probably produced in the exact same factory at the exact same time and packaged at the exact same time. But to them, there's something different. Fight number one.
You know? Fight number one.
That's where it breaks out. They start hitting and screaming. And at this point, they're tired. You know, they've been up for a little while already. It's 4.5 hours there. It's only 4 hours back for some reason. It's like we hit a jet stream.
Tail end,
back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's 4.5 hours there. I'm looking at my watch frantically. And I'm like, fuck, we got a long ways to go. You know, I got all the air vents pointing at me because I'm just beating up with sweat. And it's not because I'm fat. It's because my blood pressure is like 99 over 180.
Yeah, you were a little wound that morning when we went in.
Yeah, exactly. And my heart rate was like, I'm looking at my watch and my watch is like, bro, are you sprinting up a hill? You know, what's going on here? Like, it's freaking out too. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, if I die of a heart attack on this plane, who's going to take these kids? You know, they would just be stuck. So I was like, I probably shouldn't do that. So the kids finally chill a little bit. At one point, I had both my laptops open. The kids are watching the same show, two different laptops. Roan decides she doesn't want headphones. She unplugs her headphones. So now we have a blaring laptop in the back. The stewardess are like, and as a friendly reminder on Southwest Airlines, if you're listening to your portable device, we recommend that you put headphones in for the comfort of the rest of the people on the plane. I'm like, you motherfucker, you're talking about me. And so my thought to that was, I understand you have rules. But I'm going to break them today, you know, because I'm not going to fight with this little girl on putting her Wreck-It Ralph headphones on simply because she doesn't want to. You know, it's just not a battle that I'm willing to take. There's a lot of battles that people take, and they're tough battles. This would be one of them. So I just let it ride. And they announce it again. They announce it a second time as we continue on our flight. And finally, the good graces of God kicks in. Lincoln starts getting sleepy. And I'm like, yes, this is going to be awesome. So Lincoln starts to get tired. He starts to fall asleep, and then he goes to sleep. And guess what happens? Take a guess, Jeff. Lincoln's sleeping on my side. I'm in the aisle seat. Rowan's in the window seat. Lincoln's leaning on me. Guess what happens?
You have to go to the bathroom.
Daddy, I got to go pee.
Someone has to go to the bathroom.
Rowan has to go pee again. So I gently lay Lincoln down and take Rowan to the bathroom. And when I come out, guess who's wide awake? And not happy because he's sitting in a chair by himself. He had somehow slithered out of his seatbelt and was hanging halfway into the aisle when I returned to my seat. So he wasn't happy at all. It was a nightmare. Other than that, you know, the trip went pretty well. The flight there went pretty well. You know, by this point, we're getting closer. Here's the one thing. You know how when you're slowly descending, your ears kind of pop? And as adults, we're like, hey, all I have to do is yawn. The popping goes away. We're good to go.
The kids don't know that. So nope. It freaks them out.
Nope. They don't know. She screams. Screams. Like if there was glass windows on the airplane, they would have broke.
It
was just high-pitched screaming.
Oh, no.
And so I'm like, here, you know, here's a magic popsicle. Eat this. Here's a magic this. Finally, I pull out one of Lincoln's pacifiers. I mean, I tried to give her gum. I tried to give her anything under the sun. Mind you, I packed snacks. I mean, you saw all the stuff I had in the suitcase. Had everything. Didn't work. Finally, I give her a passy.
Bottle of Jack?
No. Oh. Oh, no. But when the waitress did come by, I was like, hey, I'll take a Jack Double and ginger for the kids. And then – and she looked at me like, what the fuck? I'm like, no, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I need it for the kids. Yeah. Exactly.
Calm them down.
Yeah, but I don't want my kids to grow up and be like, you know, alcoholics or something. That would be my luck. They would turn into having a drinking problem because of the fact that daddy gave them some Jack.
I'd be a bad parent.
You'd be a horrible parent. Child Protective Services.
You know how they have bad grandpas and all that, those movies?
You'd be worse
than
that.
I'd be the bad parent. Yeah. I'd be like, here's some peanut butter and Benadryl.
Yeah. The kids aren't dogs. So it's actually funny that you bring it up. My dad and the kids were playing. We were at Seaport Village while we were there. And I look over at my dad and he's throwing a stick and the kids are running after this stick. I'm like, they look like two Labrador retrievers chasing a fucking stick. And they're bringing it back to my dad and my dad's throwing it again. I'm like,
that's horrible.
Jesus, you know, I didn't know that they knew how to do tricks. We didn't have to give them treats. They were just doing tricks. So, which at Seaport Village that day, you know, we go to Ben and Jerry's and Rowan's like, I want chocolate chip ice cream. Lincoln wanted the same thing. No problem. Dad goes up there. Hey, let me get a Rocky Road. Hey, we don't have Rocky Road because we're Ben and Jerry's. We got something better than that. We're going to call it like Cricket's Dick or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I get mine. Rowan looks at mine. She says, Daddy, I don't like mine. And I said, okay. So I took it from her. She said, Daddy, I want yours. And guess what? She ate daddy's because daddy don't play that shit.
Yeah.
Daddy likes chocolate chips. So daddy ate that and she ate the one that I ordered. And I looked at her in envy as she did that. I'm looking at her like, you little fucking brat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was mine. That was for me. That was daddy's little treat.
When you have children, everything is theirs now.
Everything.
Nothing is yours.
I just walked her around the whole place on my shoulders. And I'm just like, come on, let me have that, you know?
Yeah. Nothing is yours.
No, it's far from mine. So anyways, back to the flight because these are great stories for another podcast. Trust me. I'm loaded down with shit. Like I had to write stuff down because I'm like, holy, if I cannot share this with my audience, they are totally missing out. So screaming, high pitch. I'm like, boom, passy in the mouth. I'm like, now suck on that and your ears will stop popping. Guess what? They do. Why? Because the pressure and her swallowing and everything else, it stops. So now she's attached to this pacifier.
Oh, no.
And, you know, we get ready to – we finally land and she's loving the landing. Lincoln, once again, daddy, again. I'm like, no, we can't do this again. I know you love going like 300 miles an hour and touching the ground and breaking hard and everything else, but we can't do this again. So we wait for everybody to get off the plane, like the people behind me. I'm like, you guys go ahead. It's all good. You know, they get off. They start taking off. And the kids don't want to carry their backpacks or their rolling carts.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we get off the plane, and they do. So I'm walking. Rowan shoots one direction. Lincoln shoots the other direction. I'm like, shit, I'm in a panic because you're in the San Diego airport. There's thousands of people walking around that airport. They shoot two different directions, and I snatch one and get the other and finally get them kind of organized a little bit. And I tell Rowan, I said, you're the line leader. Well, to a preschooler, that means you're in charge. You're up front. You're leading the way. You're paving the way for the people behind you. And that's what she took it as. She's like, boom, I'm in charge. She turned into – she went from this obnoxious little toddler to like just a leader instantly as soon as I said, you're the line leader, which I guess that would make sense. Well, as we're walking, I hear some guy, hey. I'm like, fuck. I turn around. He's like, he dropped his backpack. Well, I got to stop the line leader now who's 7 feet ahead of me, you know, and go back and get Lincoln's backpack.
Oh, my gosh.
And so finally we get down the stairs, and luckily all the family is sitting down there, you know, after Lincoln cuts one way and the other. The family's sitting down there. They're sitting on the other side of the TSA, the exit portion where they say you cannot enter.
Yeah.
They're sitting on the other side of
it. You don't even say hi. You say, just grab one.
No. Here's what they do. So they see him and they're like, oh, hi. You know, everyone's excited. My dad's there. My brothers are there. Sisters are there. You know, everybody's there. And both kids latch onto my legs. And I'm talking about like when I say latch on, it was like an eagle snatching a damn salmon out of the river. You know, it's just like – and I'm like, oh, shit. I can't even walk anymore. I got suitcases laying around me, you know, and I've got two kids latched onto my legs. I'm like, what do I do now? My dad steps over the TSA line and, you know, they didn't say anything to him because they saw what was going on. And they did just that. Family grabbed both kids and for a – moment in time, I was able to inhale and exhale. And it was just – it was the finest air I had breathed in such a long time. You know, I was able to
– this is good for you. This
no, it's not.
It builds character.
It's hard on the hearts.
It teaches you to just let go of some things that are, you know, just not worth, you know, being stressed over.
Well, yes and no. You know, when your kids are losing themselves in the airport, there's a great reason to be stressed about that. You know, and speaking of stress,
don't they have like those little leashes? See, I would have leashes. Benadryl, I can't put a leash. Butter.
I can't put a leash on my child. Like,
they have those though. I've but that's seen like those bad parent of the year. Two backpacks. You could have one in the front, one in the back.
Dude, what do you think I'm made of? I'm like RoboCop. I got metal legs. You know. Speaking of high stress, though, let's talk about our favorite home inspector, House on the Rock Home Inspection, Dave Granatra.
I sure wished I would have used him.
They take the stress out of buying a home. You know what you're walking into. You know the underlying issues before you actually get in there. Feel free to reach out to them, to Dave and his team at 615-717-7900. Let me tell you, they're awesome. I wish I had Dave and his team to help me with my children, but they probably would have been like, fuck this, I quit, you know? And I honestly thought about like trying to get somebody to fly back with me because I knew they would be a pain. The flight back is worse than the flight there. Because they didn't have any naps at that point. So
just wait for that one.
Yeah, that's going to be a good podcast. I highly recommend that you listen to it. I do want to give a big shout out to everybody that helped me out. Andy, thank you so much for letting me stay at your and Vila's home. I appreciate it. Everyone that helped out. Mikey, even though he's my little bro, which I guess that's not a bad thing. He's doing big things is a big thing. And, you know, I wish you and your family the best of luck heading out to Okinawa. I know it's a different adventure. You're closing one chapter of your book of life and opening another. I commend you and everybody you work with and everyone that takes care of you and everyone that you take care of over there. Your departed job over there at RSS San Jose North, all the people that you brought in, our future heroes, our future warriors. I am thankful as a citizen of this country for everything you've done. So very, very proud of you. Keep pushing. Jeff, any closing words? I suppose you wouldn't have any closing words because it wasn't like you were on the plane with two psychos.
No, but I was on an island by myself out here. So that, you know, you being back is
– that's totally different podcast.
It's just awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So – thanks. I love being back. We'll talk to you soon.